Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Oversoul Shaman King podcast. I am your host, Velor GTZ, and with me I have my usual co-hosts, Marion and Sakaki.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
Yo, sold out to all y'all dreamers.
Aw, oh, man, and today we are talking about episodes 26 to 38 of the 2021 Shaman King anime, which honestly, this is probably my favorite core so far, partially because of a certain story in it that I really love, but I think in general it was just really strong. Well, what did you guys think about it, like first impressions?
It was fine. I think the one that you liked was the part that I got kind of bored.
Yes, and that's why Marion is now banned from the podcast.
Oh no! But yeah, the Madamune part, I was low key. I was kind of bored. I think it had to do with the execution. The music was a little, I don't know, not it was. I didn't feel engaged as much. Basically, the pacing was really like it felt really slow. I didn't think that this had to be four episodes.
See, I thought so too at first, but apparently, like, it's just as long as any other episode in terms of how much it's adapting, which I guess I forgot how long this story must have been in the manga.
That's insane, because like the first couple volumes were like one encounter or like one fight or whatever, but this felt like, I don't know, it felt like it could have been in the span of a volume. But
and imagine this ran weekly in Jump, so like you were in a flashback for like probably months.
God, that's some One Piece shit.
Or some JJK stuff.
There you go. Oh, that was going to be my first go-to, but you're both right.
Oh, not Mid-Mid-K.
Yeah, I mean, since we're on the topic, what did you think of the Mount Osore Live Well story, Sakaki?
I liked it. I mean, I kind of agree with Marion that it felt kind of slow, because I will say that by part three, I was kind of checking constantly to see how far it was in the episode, even though I was enjoying it. But like, yeah, I liked it. I feel like, and maybe this is just me, I feel like this whole time we've been recording, you know, on the anime episodes, like there's always been this thing about Shaman King that like, I like it, but there's one thing keeping it from greatness to me. And I feel like this core found it. Because like, I guess to put it this way, Shaman King always feels like it's kind of sort of meandering around a little bit, which is fitting for having a series called with Yo as its protagonist. But like, yeah, it always just felt like it knew what it wanted to do, but it was kind of like, yeah, I'll get there eventually. Don't worry about it. But it felt like this core, it figured out, okay, all of the themes and everything, let me not even say figured out, all the themes and everything felt like they congealed into something that was a complete package for me, this core. Even with some of the things I could feel like they're still moving a little bit fast with, but I will admit, I don't remember so much the manga at this point. Like, there were a lot of things I was just like, oh yeah, I remember reading this, but there wasn't, I'm not like as straight on the manga as I like to be. But yeah, there was a lot of things that I was just kind of like, I get the themes, and they're coming together in a way that is both entertaining and resonates with me.
Yeah, like, I mean, just to give like a bit of backdoor here, I think we recorded up through with the manga up through the introduction of like Nichrome and like Ren getting stabbed. So like that's up to that is what's freshest in my memory, because just because we recorded about it,
right?
And so like everything after that was kind of like interesting re-experiencing it, especially the Yo flashback, because I forgot how long it was. But I also remembered how much I like it, too, because, like, it really kind of captures what is so interesting about Yo and Anna's relationship and the fact that, like, why Anna admires Yo more than just Yo being a very talented shaman. And also Matamune is just, like, such a great character. Like, he's, like, the I forget his name, that guy from Nekogahara. He's, like, the Nekogahara guy.
Oh, for a second, I thought that actually was him. The crack-smoking cat.
But Marion.
Yeah, no, it's not him.
But oh, Marion, that's a shame.
Like, Matamune's got the same voice actor as Replica, so...
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I watched the dub this time.
Oh, okay. I was kind of going back and forth between dub. Like, it was their line, and I was kind of interested in seeing how they translated. I went back, but I mostly went sub. But this is the first time I got to really hear, like, Joko. I don't like that name. Got to hear his dub, and I actually like his dub more than I like the Japanese. So now that's the thing I'll probably go back and at some point watch this, like, fully dub. I still don't like Ren's voice, but, like, most of the cast, I feel like I like them.
You know who I don't like in the dub? This girl, I forgot her name. Pink hair. Tamao,
yes.
Yeah, Tamao.
I don't like her English voice. I don't know who that actor is, but, like, I recognize her voice, and it sounds the same every time.
Yeah, it's the person that played Amelia in Slayers, I think.
Oh, okay.
I have to look that up.
At least I think so.
Maybe her execution in that role is probably better.
Yeah, it's Veronica Taylor. Okay.
Oh, so Ash. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because, like, she's great as Ash, but I guess...
Also from Nekogahara, I was thinking of Nora Chiyo. I don't know why I always forget his name, because he's, like, such a cool character.
Clearly.
Go read Nekogahara, folks.
It's good. Clearly that's Takei going to Starlight System again, but no. But yeah, I will say, like, yeah, I do feel like it ran a bit long, but, like, from what you're saying, the manga was that way. I think I kind of just blasted through the manga, so I don't remember it being that long, but, like, I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the thing with Shaman King, especially in the latter half of the manga, where, like, less happens per chapter, I feel.
Oh, it turns into Bleach?
Yeah, yes, that's a great way of putting it.
That's kind of rough.
Not really if you're reading it, like, in a volume. It's fine.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
But, like, especially, like, I think the final few volumes, like, you can, like, go rapid speed through them.
Yeah, because that's what happened to me when I, you know, we were reading it for the recordings. I went ahead and... I was reading volumes super fast, not because, I mean, yeah, I was enjoying them, but it was also just because, the events were just packed in a way that it felt like, okay, I'm just going to read this one thing, and then in the blink of an eye, the volume's finished. I'm like, oh, geez, well, might as well go into this next thing.
Yeah, might as well continue, shit.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I do think, I mean, well, you could argue this for any weekly shonen mangas that they all do better in volume format, but I think Shaman King especially does. And I agree with V-Lord that it feels like probably that's the reason why, again, this core felt strongest to me is because now, I mean, the story is a little slower, but I feel like it's more purposeful.
Yeah, because the pacing has stayed roughly the same, I feel, but... Because the chapters themselves have less happening, it feels like it's slower.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like the trade-off for that is, like, the storytelling is definitely way stronger.
Yeah, we're not skimming over kind of the more in-depth content anymore.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. But, there was something I wanted to say, and now I lost it. Yeah, no, I lost it. I will...
Rip Sakaki's thought.
I rarely have them, too, so you'd think I'd take care of them better, but...
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes, wow, that came out way harsher than I expected it to. But, yeah, and through watching these episodes, I did start remembering a little bit more about what happens later, and yeah, like... Hal's way more of a tragic figure than I thought he would, like, that I conceived reading the manga... Probably because I was reading it so fast. But now that I'm remembering things and watching this, it's like, Hal's more than just like this power hungry shaman guy. Like,
he's more than just Edge personified.
Exactly. Yo's,
he's not Nega Yo.
He's not Yami Yo, basically.
Yami Yo. He's actually Shadow the Hedgehog.
The Millennium Soul.
Oh my god, that's worse. Do you know why that's worse?
It's actually accurate.
I mean, it's accurate, but... but yeah, no, I did enjoy that. And god.
I love how we've introduced the concept of the fucking the Dragon Ball Z Zenkai boost, where you're just like, oh
yes,
you died.
The Zenkai boost, and we go further in with the power levels.
Yeah, 250,000 spiritual power. Whoa, I need context for that, yo. How much do you have?
What I do like what they talk about with the spiritual power later on, though, is the fact that it's not really a fixed number. It's all, like, contextual. Like, it's how you use it. It's like, you could be very powerful, but if you suck at using it, or you can use, like, your disadvantage to your advantage, you can still win.
Yeah, like the Horror fight, that was dope.
Yeah, that was super good. That was actually a really great fight, just for that reason. Because he didn't just get, like, this random power-up. He was like, well, I'll just...
He was like, blinked out with all the Oversouls. Shit.
Exactly.
Dual wielding, hold my beer. Quad wielding.
Multi-trek.
I feel like, just the way V-Lore said, I feel like it's a regular show moment. Quad wielding. Oh.
Totally is.
But yeah, no, I really like that fight. That was the blocking fight. Yeah, the only thing like that not bothered me, but the fact that like he's like Blocken's VA's voices a bunch of other characters, and all I could think of was Present Mike and Bosun and Yoshimori. So like it took me out. Oh, and what's his face from Fullmetal Alchemist? Kimblee. He's like, he voices all these guys, so I cannot. I was just like thinking of them the whole time he was talking. So, but otherwise, yeah, I do like that moment of Horo. Also, like, I mean, to really just talk about the themes in this thing is just that you, especially the one with the two kids and Choco, I forgot the kids' names. Like, it was with Ren too, where it was
Lasem and something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Red Sub and Serum.
Yes, like this whole thing that, you know, you can't get away from the things that you did were wrong. But at the same time, it doesn't paint them as a thing where, oh, you should be just this person that just is constantly seeking to atone too. There's like, it's not as black and white as that. You know, you do something wrong and you should make up for it in some way, but it's not a thing where you should just give up and be like, well, I'm a terrible person forever, I guess.
Yeah, wallowing your own self-pity, fuck that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the way that Yo handled it specifically, like... when he like intervened and like got on the golem and like, oh, if someone hurts you, you should hurt them back, and basically like scared the shit out of the kid.
Yeah, like do it before he said, you what you do will be done unto you. Like I that could have been handled like the same way many shonen do it, but I like that Shaman King has that kind of like it's a different depth to it, because like it feels mm-hmm. like the kind of thing where it's just like, oh well, you know, you should just always be seeking to atone. But Shaman King's like, yeah, I mean, that's a waste of time. There are better things you could do with your life. And the characters, both Tao Ren and Joko, both kind of experienced that in this core, and I feel like that builds upon their characters rather than being a retread of, and also attributes itself more to what Shaman King's philosophy is, which is like there's a middle, you know, there is nobody is completely one thing just mm-hmm. because of an action you took before that you regret or something.
It also makes them relevant because then they have death experiences, so they come back with a Zenkai boost and they get stronger.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh man.
I love how when Ren gets like stabbed and like he's like in a like that kind of spiritual state. They kept that scene from the manga that people always find funny, where he's like grabbing the blade and it looks like he's like awoken again, but then he's still not actually awake in the next scene.
I noticed.
It's like, I guess, like, the whole point of that is supposed to be, like, it's all in his mind still. But, like, from how it's framed, you think that it's, like, him actually, like, waking up and, like, stopping this blade. It's just really funny to me.
I remember noticing that, but, like, not thinking too hard about it. But now that you said this, it is kind of funny. But
yeah, I really like Ren's, like, character arc in general in this core, too.
Yeah.
Just because, like, he is forced to, like, literally see the ghosts of his past. Like, we have that old flashback where he has to relive himself, like, killing Chrome.
Yeah.
And, like, you can see just all the regret that he has about it, because, like, it's such a different person than what he wants to be now.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that, too. And the fact that there is this thing where, and the fact that Yo gives up his, you know, candidacy in the shaman fight to revive him, too. And it's treated as a really serious thing, even though, like how by the end, Hal's trying to undo it. Which, on one hand, I get it. It wouldn't be much of a series if protagonists couldn't participate in, like, you know, the tournament. But at the same time, just like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, also on, like, the topic of, like, the kind of the cycle of violence, I like how with, like, Life Surge too, you have that scene where, like, he, like, fatally wounds Bill, the football guy. And, like, Yo was kind of going back to the whole message of, like, hey, yeah, like, if you hurt people, they'll hurt you back. And, like, it's this endless cycle of violence that, like, Surge is becoming a part of by being influenced by the X-Laws and Marco's weird, creepy dad behavior.
Marco. We're finally getting to the part that I remember from reading Shaman King years ago.
We're so close.
Like, I was so mad when the last episode played and it was just like, yo, we're finally here, and then it ends. I'm like, shit, I gotta wait till the last
They're core. Finally in their reveal apparel.
So it's that weird humor that Shaman King has that I'll always enjoy. They're just like, they're in a completely serious moment and they're just both stripping to their underwear and summoning Gundams and shit, and it's just, it's all taken seriously.
You see, taking off the clothes makes them stronger.
I mean, that's why Goku and them can't keep their shirts on, because, I mean, clearly.
Exactly.
Clearly, that's how that works.
It's all training weights.
Exactly. Also, I know we did talk about the, oh shit, and already I forgot the name of it, Mount Osore?
Oh, yeah, Osore. Yeah,
Mount Osore. Like, I mean, I guess the thing I want to ask you guys is, not really so much ask, but the thing that I guess I took away from it most, and I don't know how you guys feel the same, and I think Vilar actually mentioned it, is just that up until now, like, Anna and Yo's relationship has always just been kind of like a very, you know, that it's like, you know that they're into each other, but not why. And I actually found it really nice how it was contextualized within this arc and everything like that. And that even with the moment when they're both watching TV, I like that small moment too. Like, the small moments are what add up in that thing, what make it work for me more so than, you know, what the climax was, what Yo did and everything. Like, when they're watching TV and they're both talking about their both each other's weird taste in music. And there's that movement where it's like,
oh yeah, Bob.
Bob and Ringo. And plus, let me just say, both of the songs are really catchy, actually. But
I love how they both get, like, eye catchers, too.
Yes. And then Ringo Awaya, which I'm assuming is kind of a play on Sheena Ringo.
Yeah, probably.
I like that, like, Yo's kind of, like, Anna's saying that, you know, because she's basically singing a song about how she hates, I guess, this person she used to date or something. And, like Anna's, like, she only is like that to hide her own, like, timidness. And, like, Yo's like, yeah, you're the same. Like, little moments like that. And the fact that, and then they're, like, confession through the door. Like, and they're both like, I'm glad the door is here so nobody, the other person wanted to see my true feelings or everything like that. Little stuff like that is what made it more to me. Like, I kind of agree with Marion a little bit, though. Like, the overall, like, final battle of it, I was kind of like, eh. Not bored, but it definitely wasn't the highlight for me. But, like, yeah, everything that led up to it, though, A-plus stuff.
Yeah, I'd say, like, the emotional and, like, the the small character actions, I think, weighed more heavily than the actual dramatic parts of the story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just, and of course, like, Matamune, I didn't realize until they did the ending of, you know, the ending theme, but which, again, Hayashibara knocks it out of the park, but that the things that Matsumune had been saying all along were part of this, when they turned into a poem and had Hayashibara sing at the end, that's when it kind of hit more than me, for me, than when Matsumune was saying it during the story.
Yeah, I really like how they, like, ended off that, where, like, it's Hayashibara, like, singing out the poem.
Yes, that was really good. I mean, I knew of it, because I hadn't listened to it, but I remember seeing it on Twitter or something that they had changed the ending for that episode. And even though the ending itself, like Saji's Hazuki, is also really good, I'm sad at how little it really plagues. There are quite a few episodes with no ending.
Yeah, they're really jam-packing them.
So, and then, I mean, well, since we're on the subject, the opening and ending for this season, Get Up, Shout, and Hazuki. Get Up, Shout by, of course, Mizuki Nana. How do we feel about not having any Hayashibara?
I'm okay with it.
It feels weird.
Honestly, the Nana song kind of bangs.
It does. Yes. And I'm with V-Lore, where I'm just kind of... When I went into the series, I was expecting all Hayashibara songs, like the first one. So the fact that we only got one opening, one ending from her, and that's
Let her rest.
I mean, I guess so, but it's just... I don't know. It just doesn't feel like
she still has to voice Anna.
I mean, yeah, it's true. And granted, since she's like barely in Pokemon nowadays, I guess Anna and like, I guess Hybar are pretty much it for her right now.
Who does Nana voice again?
Tamao.
Oh, funny.
I don't remember if she voiced her in the original too. I'm pretty sure she did. Like, I know for the original, there were quite a few voices that were, like, doubled up, but I'm pretty sure she voiced Tamao for the original. Actually,
it's crazy, because Tamao is literally Hinata.
True.
I mean, she's less useless than Hinata.
Wow, V-Lord, just putting it out there. Okay. I mean, I don't blame you, though.
Also, like, Hinata has no character. I'm sorry, Hinata fans, but name one important thing Hinata did besides, like...
Die?
Her fight? She doesn't die, though.
I know.
She kind
of... Die, question mark.
Yeah. I mean, I guess she married Naruto?
Yeah, she married Naruto. She, like...
She gave birth.
Tried to defend him in that pain fight. And then there was that fight with Neji in, like, the original series.
Remember that crazy-ass filler? I was like, why does she use this technique? It's so cool. It was fucking filler.
Yeah, she was Tamao in the original as well, so alright, so I guess that makes sense. But yeah, I was really weirded out when they didn't get Hayashibara to sing any more songs. Especially since and then the third ending's by a band like not related to J music to any song. And then we go right back to any song for fourth ending, but it is what it is.
You gotta have a special time for Matamune.
True.
Only the best.
And then in that video is like really beautiful. So really, I think we mentioned in the last recording, the last episode that, the ending like videos are all really good looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly prefer the endings for, I think, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
I agree with you. I think, I'm probably going to get lynched for this for the Hayashibara fans, but I didn't really like her ending. I liked her opening fine. But I didn't like her ending, but like the 2, 3, and 4 I like. 2's weird, but...
Honestly, I liked her ending more than her opening.
Well, V-Lore, we're going to have to take it in the back. We're going to have to take
this back. Oh, so, I'll bring the wings.
But yeah, I mean, and I guess since we're talking about that, how do we feel about the animation in this core?
Still, it's mostly... there.
That's it exists, much. I guess.
Very instructive.
Like, I've accepted that this show is not going to be like crazy well animated ever, but it's passable.
They okay. Do be walking.
Yeah, but they be walking.
I mean, like, yeah, that's fair. Because like, Marion just—it's there. That's basically it. Like, I guess there were a couple moments where I was hoping for a slightly better animation, but I mean, where they don't really have animation, I guess. Well, I can't even really say direction is that good. The lighting is good sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do actually agree with that on the lighting specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I liked the light. There were a couple of scenes where I was like, the lighting really stood out. And the character designs I really liked, too. Like, I've liked them throughout this whole run compared to the 2001 anime, which, I mean, I guess it's an unfair comparison, but, like, still, the character designs are much... I don't know, there's something about, like, the eye coloring and, like, just the, generally how they're designed. Even though they don't always hit, like, that same vibe the manga does, which is per the course with anime adaption, but they do a pretty good job.
Yeah. Honestly, I think when I first started watching the core itself, I was like, whatever. I'm just going through it. I felt like I was my boredom peaked with like the flashback. Sorry. I don't know why. I just did not vibe with it. But after that, like,
send all hate mail to Marion.
Shh. After that, after the, I think when Mikihisa like showed up and was doing like the Ultra Senji Ryakatsu, and like when he shows up to like interfere with like the Hanagumi, I thought that was when it started getting more fun, and then it just kept on ramping up. I was surprised because I was thinking earlier like I think I still like the second core more, but then by the way that things just kept ramping up with like the Ren's atonement, the whole getting revived, then with the Joko, and then now with the X-Laws and fucking Marco versus Luchist?
Yeah, Luchist.
Luchist. And I was like, oh, this is fucking great. I'm assuming that we're inching dangerously closer to the racing robots, right? Racing cars?
Racing cars. It's probably, I think it's like in episode 2 after 38.
I'm ready.
Racing robots, I'm loving it. We got Transformers more than meets the eye.
And since thing. I was watching a dub this time, I told V-Lord, I'm like, wait, is Marco Kaiba? Like, I just picked up on it. I'm like, wait, I recognize that asshole voice.
super
smug.
I need to watch the dub now. I mean, I had to stick with Nakamura Marco, and
he also said some such shit about Lyser, like before you grow up and your voice becomes less girly or some shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Man's on a roasting streak.
Yeah.
I love when they go to the armory and there's just like a bunch of guns and shit, and then there's just an angel in the middle. I'm like, yes, this is justice right here. Oh, like you have all these like religious things that the X-Laws worship, and then you just have random guns.
I mean, yeah.
They do be carrying the Glocks on them.
I mean, guns be getting stuff done, though.
They stay strapped.
I mean, it's up to God to forgive. It's up to them to send them people to sinners to him. So, like,
got that thing on him.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But yeah, I did like revisiting, I have to remember not to use the wrong name, Joko's, like, past and having his master come back. And maybe I'm just slow, but I don't understand why he blinded himself, though. Like,
more Zenkai boost.
I guess.
I don't know. I actually don't know the reason.
I guess. Like, I mean, his explanation, I was following it, but then I was just kind of like, well, like, I guess in the manga, I skipped over it, but I just assumed that, okay, they just brought him back wrong, and he was just like, nah, I'm fine with this.
He really said, see no evil. God damn.
I mean, that's what I thought in the manga, but then this time I actually pay attention to this explanation. I'm just kind of like, well, no, you asked him to do this to you? Which
that's fine. Funny. You paid attention and then it made less sense.
That's exactly what happened. I'm like, you asked him, okay, fine, I get it. Maybe, like Marion just said, maybe you just did it to, you know, become more powerful. But it's like, no, I just wanted to make, what's her name, laugh. And I'm just like, you could do that with your sight, though. Like, did I miss something, or like I don't know, man. Like, your jokes didn't get better when you got blinded. You maybe your oversoul did, but you're still the same. So I don't know. Maybe there's something I just didn't understand, or did I miss that he went and blinded himself, or had himself be blinded, or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like the energy that went into seeing is now focused into his spirit energy. I don't fucking know.
I'm willing to go with that. Sure.
Just make some random shit up.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I know I sound sarcastic, but no, that's an explanation.
Sakaki, just when in doubt, just treat it like King Crimson. It just works.
It just works. Oh, speaking of King Crimson, did we catch Konishi voicing two people, like talking to himself a little bit there? He was the twins' dad, and he's still Amidamaru.
Oh, like, shit!
Yeah, I didn't realize it until like they were fighting him. And I'm like, wait, because I guess at that point maybe I was like playing Danganronpa or something, and I was listening. And I was like, wait, why is Amidamaru like screaming at these kids? I'm like, oh no, that's their. Oh, okay. So their dad's doing. He's also Konishi.
Possess the me that possesses you. Yo.
I mean, I guess just how do we feel about like dad and the twins?
That like, shit was weird.
Yeah, right.
Who the fuck possesses their daughter? Sus.
Yeah, that I almost, not even just that, I almost feel like I don't want to go as far as saying that they're not necessary, but I'm also just kind of like, I guess I get that they kind of serve as kind of like the anchor to Joko's story, his whole thing, but I'm also just kind of like, that could have been differently.
I think, I don't know, the way that dad is the, like a ghost, I was like, okay, but then like it becomes a situation where it's like, okay, so he's possessing the daughter who's driving the golem, and the golem has the mana drive, that which means like, oh, so this operates on itself. But then like if that's the case, why not just like, can it, I don't know if this works or not, if the ghost can just like possess the mana drive.
I feel like thematically it would have made more sense not to have the dad.
Yeah, kind of. It feels like a cop-out, because, like, yeah, oh, yeah, he died, but this is a show about spirits, so is he really dead, or he's still in the... Whatever.
I mean, I don't know. I guess just to be brutally... To say it brutally, I don't know really what the kids offer, besides just being, Joko did a bad thing and now has to pay for it. Like,
you know, you have to illustrate the cycle.
So see, I like the story itself, but I think like it should be focused just on Joko and the twins.
I think that it could have had a stronger message if they emphasized more about like the breaking of the cycle of violence and like learning how to process grief, especially for like younger people, like kids. I thought that could have been a stronger message.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, from that point of view, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I definitely would have liked that more. But, and I also, like, agree with you, Laura, where it's just, like, if the dad hadn't been involved, it just got kind of needlessly convoluted at that point. And...
But he's friends with Miki Hisa. Miki.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Miki, I love the scene earlier in the core Or like he's confronting the Hanagumi and just starts slapping them.
Mickey's just and
this,
like,
this old man is dangerous. He's almost a pervert.
He just shows up in his underwear and just starts. He's just him. Mickey's just Mickey, and then like when they left him out in the like wilderness bleeding, like towards the end of the whole golem thing too.
Oh, classic Mickey.
Like he
everyone loves Mickey.
You don't get that at Disney.
Oh my god, like yeah. And then like, oh, yeah, one thing I was going to ask was like I saw in the subtitles like they termed Opacho as a girl. Was that ever confirmed?
Yeah, I think Opacho's a girl.
I don't know if I was reading Japanese wiki or like just the Shaman King wiki, and they were like that Opacho's gender was never confirmed. That like I know the dub somebody mentioned the dub that like they like made Opacho I think a dude, but I'm not sure. I'll have to check that. I'm pretty sure I'm like crossing wires here, but yeah, I just remember reading somewhere that it was never confirmed. But yeah, I did notice in the subs they said you know she. I mean, which, by the way, Opacho is also Hayashibara.
Yeah, so, like, Opacho's gender was changed from female to male for the Viz release and okay, the Four so Kids
dub. God, thank God I'm not going crazy. So I do remember that. But, yeah, okay, so, but that means it was confirmed that she's confirmed a female. I don't know, that just stuck to me, because I was just like, did they ever, like, okay. And I mean, with the ambiguity of the Japanese language, like, I couldn't just listen to what they were saying and kind of pick it up from there either. But, yeah.
Damn. I always thought, yeah, I don't know. I guess because of my original experience, I just thought Opacho was a dude.
Yeah. When the little bit of manga I read from Viz, that's what I just assumed too. But then, like, I don't know. I read somewhere that it was never confirmed. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I think about it, they never really use many pronouns with Opacho, so it's like, it's something that never really, like, crossed my
clearly
mind.
Clearly, they're
to
just
about.
The third gender baby.
I'm down with it.
They, them,
yeah,
we
exactly.
love to
I'm
see
down
it.
With that. I'm 100% down with that. But yeah, I the only reason why it came to mind is just because I just remember that, reading something. And I was like, oh, where did Netflix source? So. But, I mean, yeah, I will say for the little bit of the dub that I did end up watching, although there are quite a few voices I'm just kind of like, meh, on, I do like the script, like, a lot.
Yeah, I think the script is, like, well adapted. I think the main issue I ever have with the dub is the voice direction tends to be very hit or miss.
Yeah, I agree. Because I remember listening a little bit of, like the first part, earlier in the core, where, like, Anna was talking to the kids, or like the Raisib, like his voice was really just flat. Like it felt like whoever was voicing him in the dub just was reading verbatim for a little while. I mean, when I checked back later in the core, just for out of curiosity, it seemed like his voice actress kind of more got into the role, and you know the voice directing was much better. But yeah, that honestly, that's what I remember last episode, I did say I was going to watch the dub, and like I couldn't make it through an episode. So, and that was one of the reasons why. So, yeah.
But yeah, do we have any other thoughts?
I forgot. I was going to say something about Lysurg. I think Lysurg's like journey and like his whole thing about like finding himself and what he believes justice is it was good. I enjoyed it. And the fact that like he's like second guessing himself because of the way how violent Marco is, and like all the stuff that he like his whole agenda doesn't seem to line up one for one with like the image that John like cultivates, but he'll do whatever it takes to like like manipulate the situation into his way. Like how Marco basically figured out a way to, like, okay, so they made the deal to revive Ren, but then, okay, he was revived. Like, we could just kill him again or something. Like, it's really slimy, but yeah, I don't know. I think the way that the characters are kind of like clashing in terms of like ideals, I like seeing that.
Marco's a true paragon of justice, guys.
Spoken like a true CEO.
I agree. Like, one of the, I would say, even if sometimes the story gets kind of like odd with Shaman King, I will say the clash of ideals is one of the things it does super well. Like, again, like I said earlier, that nobody's clearly just one thing or another. You can't necessarily say, like, even the X-Laws, like, yeah, everybody's suffering in some way. It's just the way that they approach their suffering and choose to deal with it is what makes up the series.
Right.
And that's one thing I like about Yo's approach. Yo and Lyser, and especially, is that in the last core, like, if it had been another series, Yo would have went out of his way to get Lyser out of the X-Law simply because he doesn't agree with them. But Yo's like, that's his way of dealing with his trauma, is to join with them. And we have to respect that. I don't like them personally, but, like, yeah, that's, and even within this core, that Lyser, and I like that, like, it's because he does it that way, Lyser has time to kind of formulate those thoughts and be like, man, you know, I do like the Lyser, not the Lyser, the X-Laws, I think of them as friends, but I'm not one-on-one, I'm not agreeing with everything they do either. So, and I like that, like, sense of, I like that sense of just, like, it isn't one thing or another. And the fact that it is just the clash of, like, the different characters' wills and what they want to do versus, you know, or, well, excuse me, basically how they're dealing with their different traumas and how that propels them to take actions. Right. And then they later maybe regret these actions, and then, you know, either it's a thing where it's like, I'm going to be better this time. Or, you know, double down, as Marco is. That's what drives the real crux of the story. And that's what I think Shaman King does really well, is its characters and its themes.
Yeah, there's, like, this mutual understanding between, like, Yo and Light Surge, I feel. Especially, like, the one thing that I really found interesting watching this core is, like, there's never really a point where, like, Yo has any animosity towards Light Surge. He has, like, issues with Lysurge's actions, like him, like, almost killing Bill.
Why are you such a pussy?
But yeah, like, him almost killing Bill. Like, you can tell, like, he's not happy with it and stuff. But he's not mad at Lysurge specifically. He's mad at the action itself.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's interesting seeing that dynamic, like you said, Sagaki, and, like, other types of series you probably would have Yo directly confronting or trying to, like, take Lysurge out of this, like, situation. But instead he's just, like, dealing with it as it comes.
And, you know, that's another thing of Shaman King. I don't know. I think they even right out say it. Well, no, they say it several times that right or wrong, you know, there really isn't that. It isn't, not, well, they more phrase it like it doesn't exist, which I'm not quite on board with, but I get the intent, which is, like, right or wrong depends on the point of view that you have. And the fact that Yo is upset at Lysor's actions and not himself, and the fact that in another series, he would have forced him to say that I'm in the right, you have to do what I'm doing, telling you to do. Rather, but that's not what Yo's about. He's just kind of like, this is how he wants to deal with it. We just have to leave him alone on that. And I do, one other thing about this, speaking of Yo, is, like, we finally get to see him in this core actually admit that he's kind of, I'm running on fumes here. Like, towards, like, when basically it was last, I think one of the last episodes of this core, it's just like, yeah, where he's talking to Amidamaru and he's just like, everybody's telling him, you know, you need to do what you want. Like, it's easy to picture Yo as, like, being selfish, but he really isn't. And as they kind of approach Amidamaru and Anna kind of both confront him on this, it's kind of like, yeah, he's been going with the flow so much that he's kind of lost himself to a point that he's like exhausted and everything. And when Hao's like, get back in the shaman fight or else I'll kill the kids, it's like, you know, it's like even then he's thinking about, well, I can't go back on my deal with the X-Laws. And, you know, until they were like, well, yeah, you can just force your way back in. This is, what do you want to do? And I feel like that's a very important question that he had to ask himself.
I'm sorry. I was reading something and got zoned out.
But no, I agree with what you said,
Me Sakaki. Too.
I think, like... God, I can't stop laughing now.
I mean, that was so honest. That was oh, a yo God. Moment. Like, Marion's totally in character right now. sweet. Gomennasai.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, just to like kind of sum up how I feel about this core reminded me why I love Shaman King. Like all the, there's so many good moments here that really kind of like encapsulate the strengths of the series, like thematically and just in terms of character writing. And it's like really nice kind of seeing them all in such a short time span where like, I enjoy the previous two cores, but I feel like it's been like more of a compromise on the manga rather than capturing everything that makes it so great. Well, because of like the fact that like there's now more breathing room in this core, like you're able to see all those different sides of the series that maybe were kind of glossed over a lot more quickly before.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Because again, I feel like now I have a better idea of why Shaman King is so beloved. Like, and this is what I feel like anime as a medium can do really well, which is to, I mean, of course the manga is always there and the manga is better, but like when watching the anime, I guess, I don't know. I feel like a lot of time, at least for me personally, that I usually watch anime and then check out manga afterwards, and that's just how I consume media. And so far, like, I liked the Shaman King manga, but I was just kind of like, you know, it's good, but why? Why is it so beloved? But I feel like this core summed it up really well for me. And I know I actually said to myself, okay, I get it now. When I finished this core last night, I was like, I get it. I get why people love this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marion, do you have anything to add?
Any core where Ren says, thank you, yo, is bound to be a good one.
Yeah, true. I guess we might as well cap it off there.
I'm down.
So yeah, overall, I think we were very happy with this core. It was good stuff. And
yeah, honestly, two thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. I give it 5 thumbs up. I just have to get like 3 more thumbs.
You got 2 toes.
I mean, you could use Ryu's Oversoul. He had something like that, remember?
Yeah, he had the giant thumb.
Oh! Oh.
That counts as 2.
God.
What were you about to say, Marion?
I like this core because also, that one moment where Matamune uses, like, an Oversoul over his, like, pipe or whatever, and Yo is just like, a ghost can use an Oversoul? I thought that was so funny. I don't know why.
I mean, it's kind of...
Manamune is just too cool to follow the rules.
You would think that he'd remember how that Oversoul was handled when he was, like, making his own.
I mean, but was that because, like, when he met Manamune, he was younger? Or was it... I might be misremembering. Because, like, he wasn't... The first time he used Oversoul was when he was with Matamune, right?
I think so. Oh, wait, okay. Yeah, he did the Shikigami.
Yeah, basically. He did the Shikigami, which... Okay. I
mean, but when he practiced Oversoul with Amidamaru, I feel like you could have just thought a little harder.
I mean, true. True.
Clearly he suppressed the memories because it was too traumatic.
Oh, true, because Anna told him to die.
They're all...
I love how he like enjoys the one slap.
Okay.
It's like, oh, that's how Yo got his kink.
He's masochistic.
I remember what the one time, and like there was one scene where she slapped him, and like the Japanese version just repeated first slap twice, but like the dub, it was kind of like, I got slapped for the first time in my life. It was an enlightening experience. I just found that really funny that that's what they went with in the dub. But yeah, no, that's clearly where
they know the target audience.
Oh my god. And then, I mean, it's later when like he and Matsumune are like hanging out in the bath, and Matsumune is like, so it's love at first sight, huh? Again, the dub, I love that scene. Like in Japanese it was funny, but in the dub he just kept saying, who said that? Like, I never like struggling to finish his sentences. It's like moments like that that I think the dub was like really strong.
I agree.
Yeah, it really nails the comedic moments.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that that's like, I'm finding a lot now. I mean, speaking outside of Shaman King, it's just that dubs definitely are like, most dubs are best when they're funny, opposed to when it's like, you know, super serious content or whatever. I mean, I'm speaking out my ass right now, though. So anybody listening to this, like, no offense if your favorite, like, super serious dub, and I'm not shitting. No,
full offense.
Demon Slayer dub bad in the trash with it.
Shit, you just reminded me that I have the Blu-ray for Mugen Train. I really should watch the dub of that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, the dub's good.
Oh yeah, I like the dub. I've watched, like, I had the Blu-ray for the first two, for the first season, and I watched that completely dubbed, and it was good. I just haven't touched it since then. I haven't even watched the last episode of Entertainment District. I need to do that. See, this is exactly why I'm trying to use like the internet less, because I got like a pile of stuff that I'm sitting on, and instead I'm like doom scrolling, and it's bad.
But you have to use the internet to watch Entertainment District 2. So
I mean, okay, fine, not the internet. You knew exactly what I meant.
Social media.
Yes.
All that newfangled technology.
Stop being pedantic, man. But yeah, I guess that's me going off subject. Is a good time for us to wrap up then.
Indeed. So, Marion, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at microwavy, the E before the V. I also have a card in my description with all my other projects. You can find my writing on ToonamiFaithful.com, WSSTB, I have this doorknob on WordPress. And recently, I haven't really recorded other podcasts besides with you guys, and a couple times I guested on MHA Pod, so you can check that out.
Awesome. And Sakaki, where can people find you?
Going to try and streamline this. You can find me at WSS Talkback on Twitter, and wsstalkback.blogspot.com, which Marion mentioned. We have reviews, interviews, and stuff like that on the blog. On the Twitter, we're the one Twitter that goes through the entire Shonen Sunday magazine every week, give or take one or two series. I don't have anything to say. And of course, we're always looking for people who love Shonen Sunday series or Shokakukan series and want to talk or write about them. Please come on down. We're always looking for extra people to write. You can also find me at Kirobon, KIIROBON, on Twitter as well. I record a couple podcasts with these fine folk. Demon Slayer Podcast at Demon Slayer, D Slayer Pod on Twitter. Saturday Night Shogi, which is at Saturday Night Shogi on Twitter. And that's our Shonen Sunday, or Shogakukan, I should say, podcast. And I also do a Dragon Ball podcast with our good friend Colton at Another DB Pod. It's Another Day, Another Adventure, where essentially, if Goku's in it, and it's animated, then we're probably going to talk about it at some point. And yeah, I also write for Toonami Faithful. I should start writing again for it. It's been so long. And yeah, that's generally where you can find me.
Awesome. Definitely follow both of these guys. They're awesome people and they deserve your love. As far as I go, though, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. And then I write various things for all-comic.com as well as ToonamiFaithful.com. So you can check out my writing over there. And then I do a bunch of podcasts, several with these two fine folks, including Saturday Night Shoggy at Sat Night Shoggy, Demon Slayer Podcast at D Slayer Podcast, and then I do a few other things like the Dumb Weebs Podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod, and I occasionally pop up on the Toonami Faithful Podcast at Toonami Podcast. But as far as Oversoul is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at Shaman King Pod, and the podcast is on basically every platform out there for podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts, you can probably find us, and make sure to subscribe, rate and review us, and just enjoy the episodes. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.